Every conversation debates in relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip? Who she loving? This tea get hotter when you touch it. Forget about that he saying that she said. Tell me what the street said. Got them tuned and they running back. Just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?
Reality on the table, baby. What's up?
Welcome back.
Yeah. And it's a realist in reality.
Hey.
Welcome back, y'all.
Finest.
Hey, y'all not about to take over my show today.
Hey, what you gonna do? You got me in the seat today.
She better say something or we'll take over.
Okay, look. I'm bringing my friends. They love their damn mama. We're gonna bring them in. So look, welcome back to the reality table. Your biggest, the biggest. The biggest,
the biggest,
Lex in the building, and I got my friends, Mr. Walter.
All right, Mr.
Walter, you gonna trip me out because he ain't no Mr. Walter.
I'm no Mr. They call that boy Mr. Walter. Lex, I ain't gonna lie. Hold on. I gotta say something. Look who you got in your room today. You got the legend.
I want to know how you pulled this up, bro. She too solid, dog.
What did I do?
That's a hell of a combination right here.
So look, I got it. New Orleans in the building.
Yeah,
New Orleans. You know what I'm talking about? Casey made some things happen. Angie made some things happen. So we got the building in the building. You know what I'm talking about? So I already talked about Walter. Okay. Now we're going to talk about Mr. Casey. Tell him what you got going on, Casey.
Man. I just came from filming the dish. He got me in the seat right now. Y'all know we got season 2 of the Toya Regine show coming out. You know what I'm saying? Me and Walter, my brother, he fresh home off the 10-year
Welcome home, Walter.
Stay home. Yeah, stay home this time.
Welcome home, Walter.
Don't piss me off.
Yeah, man.
I'm just playing with you.
But yeah,
real prison reform.
But yeah, man, we just trying to really rehabilitate ourselves, you know what I'm saying? And, excuse me, y'all know I'm a little, I ain't nervous, but we got some kings in here,
hey,
man.
He on that drink, he can't carry it.
Hey, look, we, got, we gonna welcome, look, Casey gonna talk out of depth. We gonna welcome my sis, Miss TK with Mothers Against Gun Violence. Go ahead, tell them about yourself.
Yes, it's actually Mothers Against Gang Violence. Ooh. I'm Miss TK from ATL.
Correct.
And I teach families what to look for when their kids are being incarcerated or being inducted into gang activities, because I have one, and I can tell you the real.
Okay. Next, we gonna welcome my sis. Miss Angela Stanton King. Talk to me.
Hey, everybody. Angela Stanton, the King, in the building. And you already know what it is, man. We ain't doing nothing but setting the captives free and saving some babies around here.
Standing on business, you know what I'm saying?
We're here tonight to talk about some major moves we're making in Atlanta and all over America with criminal justice reform, because it's something that touches us all. So I'm going to leave it there and give it back to the big Lex. She ain't bigger than me. But she the big Lex, not the little one.
And last but not least, we going to welcome Hot Boy Turk. What you got going on, Turk? The legend.
Man. Hey, man,
they just gave me that proclamation in New Orleans. Hey, man, I really appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about, man, just changing and staying changed. You feel me? Going back doing the same things, expecting different results, because that's insanity.
That's insanity.
I'm on this move, man, with my big sis, Angie. You know what I'm talking about? She pulled me and said, come on, little bro. And y'all already know, man, we changing everything bit by bit. You feel me? Yeah, reforming. You heard me?
That's what's up.
I love that.
So look, topic of the night. But my co-host tonight, actually, Miss Angela Stanton King, had to bring my sister on board with this one because it's a lot of knowledge. And I only went to jail once for some stupid shit.
What you went to jail for?
I got dropped to reckless driving. But this was when I was a child.
Ooh, wild.
I was a child.
When I was a child, I thought as a child. Right. But now that I'm an adult, I put the child is thinking away.
But exactly.
I was really just coming from overseas, went out. played overseas 6 years, came in town, and we all went out to the bar, and I was...
You played ball?
Yeah, but I'm a pro. Stop playing. I retired in 2017. You better know who you talking to. Right. Yeah. Come on, my platform, now I know who you talking to.
Yeah, let
me.
That's why I'm sitting next to you.
That's why I call her the big.
See what it is.
That part.
But yeah, man, you know, just hanging out with my friends, and then I turned left. I guess it was yellow red instead of just green, and then I got pulled over. Like, man, I got to drop, so it don't matter. So, but look, I ain't never really did no time, so I respect everybody that's up here. I respect what y'all got going on, and that's why I made it a point to have Angie as my host on this one. My brother out of town, Big Josh Powell. We miss you, King. We'll see you when you come back. But the topic of tonight is criminal justice reform.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask y'all a couple of questions. Y'all going to give me some responses, and then we're going to dive deep.
Yeah.
Got it?
Okay.
What specific aspects of the criminal justice system do you think are in need of reform, and why? How can we ensure...
Hold on. That's too many questions.
No, I'm just going to let you hear three, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
How can we ensure that the criminal justice system provides fairness and equal treatment for all individuals, regardless of race, social economic status, or factors? How can families support their loved ones while they're incarcerated?
Now, I ain't never been asked three questions at one time.
So we're going to start with the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to let the folks know what we're dealing with. So look, we got to let the folks know what we're dealing with. So the first question, I'm going to start off with you, Mr. Turk. What specific aspects of the criminal justice system do you think are in need of reform, and why?
I think recidivism, you know what I'm saying? Just when you're getting out and it being a revolving door. I dealt with it, you know, because it wasn't nothing that I could do after prison. Well, I didn't take advantage of it, you know? And I think people are not informed of the things that they have that can help them. You know, the only thing that we be focus on is a job. Me being a rapper, that was never no problem for me. But the people who don't have the opportunity that I have, you know what I'm saying? I kind of like empathize with them. You know, I think it need to be more empowerment, more education, more things for us to be able to do so we won't be able to keep coming back, you know, back and forth. Because after that, it seemed like it's a setup, you know? But, and that's what I'm working for, just informing people, letting them know that they do have other things out there. Like, even like joining forces with people who have been in your situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of us, we have been in the same situation, and we joining forces together, and we pushing the narrative. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you just need to find the resources and attach yourself to the right energy. You feel me?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll take some of that. For one, we need to have real rehabilitation in our prisons. The whole system needs to be reformed. I have an issue with sending a black man or a black woman to prison for 10, 12, 20 years, leaving their children behind. When they go into prison, oftentimes the prison system will make them work for the state, right? Just so they can pay the state. But why are we not making some of these men and women work so they can send money back home to take care of their families? And I think that's one of the issues for me, the children and the families that are left behind. And we have seen in America so much lately a focus being on family separation at the border. And I don't think any of us are taking into consideration how our families are separated. Right. Like, if you're an American, anytime you get arrested, your family is separated. So our family's been being separated since they brought us over here and was selling us on shipping blocks and separating our families. So that prison is a whole nother beast. So I think that we need to focus on family reunification in America, and we need to focus on real reform inside of the prisons. For me personally, I discovered my talent when I was in prison. I started walking around every day with a pen and a pad. You know what I'm saying? I started writing my first book when I was in prison. Came home, started my publishing company. You know what I'm saying? Jumped from there. We don't understand that we already have gifts and talents in us that we was born with. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we discover that when we go to prison. Don't get no commissary. You're going to learn how to draw. You're going to learn how to paint. You're going to learn how to do something to get some money.
Exactly.
We are really creative as a people. So we just have to learn to take our creativity and our gifts that we already have in us and turn it into a business. Because 9 times out of 10, if you like me and you've been to prison, we're not fit for the workforce because we don't listen.
Mm. Exactly.
We got to be our own boss.
That's good. Exactly. That's exactly. good. And I want to bring that back with me having a son in prison serving 20 years on his 8-year sentence. When my son went to Jackson, I called down and I was like, let me be the PTA mom of prison, because if I can be the PTA mom in the school, then I can be the PTA mom, because at the time, my son was 17. And what I teach families is you don't have to stop parenting because your child is incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And like she stated, in some prisons, you have to know what resources they have. And that's how they send individuals out. I know this because sometimes your kids be like, you don't know, I have been incarcerated. That's not for me to tell the streets. Mm-hmm. What is for me to tell the streets is how not to re-enter, like he stated. Mm-hmm. And so my son got his high school diploma while he was in there. That's because I knew he needed a counselor. Mm-hmm. My son got his college degree. That's because he needed a counselor. Don't tell me what my son needs, because what you tell me as a parent when he was first incarcerated, that if I didn't follow rules, then I was in contempt of court. So teach me how to be in contempt to let my son come back home. Mm. So those are the resources that we need to let them know that the prison hell, not where he ranking, not how many bodies he done killed, not who he don't get along with, so I'm not going to send him to this camp. What I'm going to do is send him to the best camp so that he can be able to come home safe, because a lot of kids, so a lot of young men not making it home. My son went in at 17 and he's 23 right now and he still has 2 years. And don't wait till the last time when it's almost time for them to get out. When they went through all these programs, they're supposed to take a year off. Mm-hmm. Don't mm-hmm. take that year off when it's almost time for me to come home, where I'm still thinking that it's 8 years and I probably have one, but I'm scared to tell my bunk mate because I might get to fight in here because people challenge your time.
Right.
Nah, nigga, you're going to stay here. I'm sorry if I'm supposed to say that, but I want to keep it real. Mm-hmm. So those are the type of things that I teach my son and I teach the families. It's services in there. You may look like a punk getting them, but what you're going to do is look happy when you come home, because what they're going to say is, introduce me to your mama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of the resources that are available. And I remember when I served my time in prison, because I was like, okay, I'm going to be in CNA. They offered this little CNA course, right? So I took the course in prison, graduated and everything. Then I got out and tried to get a job and couldn't because I was a convicted felon. Those are some of the things we have to reform in the justice system. Like, let's really think about this. Why are you all offering training and certification for programs that they can't get if they have a conviction on their background? Another thing with reforming the system. Why is it that we're out of prison? You served your time 10, 15 years ago, completed your probation, parole and everything, but you go to get a job. And then it still come up, and you can't get the job.
That's what I'm saying. That's the topic I wanted to get on, because you know I've been in and out of jail my whole life too. You know what I'm saying? And it's like when you rehabilitating yourself, you're trying to get jobs and stuff like that. They're gonna ask you if you're convicted or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what should I do? Should I put I'm convicted? I'm not. If I don't put I'm convicted on there, then you find out.
It's really keeping you a slave to the government, really. So I think that's one of the initiatives we're going to work on with what we're doing with this criminal justice reform team that we are creating. Once you out, you out. You know what I'm saying? Once I completed my time and I served my probation, I'm done. Take it off of my criminal background. There's no reason why I'm 45 years old and something I did when I was 20. I'm a millionaire now and I can't live in a certain neighborhood because of something I did 20 years ago. My children don't deserve to live the life that I lived. That's why I went through what I went through, so I can give them a better life. But you're going to make my children suffer for a crime that I'm supposed to be free and clear
from. Let me ask y'all a question. So look, we all make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. We all try to get, you know, be forgiven of our mistakes. But we all aren't blessed to be forgiven for our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't people that are like you guys that want to make a change, you know, want to change over a new leaf. When did you, if I'm gonna ask all of y'all, starting on this side, going on down, when did you know it was time to stop playing, let me get my stuff together? And it don't mean you didn't have your stuff together, but more so, let me get out these streets. Let me stop doing this. Let me stop doing that. And let me make a change for my community so they don't have to walk in the steps that I walked in, go to jail, do some stuff, whatever. But at the same time, look, we can go to jail, but we can change too, because that happens every day. Now, I might not have never went to jail and did no hard time, but I'm daily changing on who I am as a person. Mm.
Jail and prison is two different things.
Mm.
And, when I was going in jail, it was like a revolving door. I'm seeing people go and come. I might see the person just went home for the weekend. He came back Monday. So it's like, damn, you just got out, nigga. You right. You back right. in. Right. But when you in prison, you ain't seeing that going and coming and going and coming. You saying, look, I'm staying there. I got to get a job. I got to work. I got to go to barbershop. I got to law library. I got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to do something. Y'all all in there. And you seeing all kind of real shit going on. Raping, stabbings. You seeing, you know what I'm saying?
In prison.
All kind of shit. Well, so I think the reality check of, like, you might not make it out. You know what I'm saying? And you, it's different from being in prison and off the streets. On the streets, you can run and get away. In prison, you can't. Mm. You got to sleep with one eye open. So I think it'd be the scare factor. And a lot of real niggas probably won't admit it's a scary situation. It was scary. Like, because you don't know if you're going to make it out. You know what I'm saying? So that'd be the reality of the situation. And when I got my prison time, that's when I realized, damn, this shit is for real. You know what I'm saying? And I did 8 years, 8 months, 16 days. I had 22 years at 22 years old, you know? And I had to fight my whole time being in prison. I never accepted that I had 22 years. But just fighting, going through the process of the appellate courts, the United States, and the Supreme, like, I had to really, like, fight to get out. You know what I'm saying? And that humbled me, you know what I'm saying? So just going through the whole process of that, knowing that it was real, I realized that I ain't want to do it no more. I've been home 12 years now, and that's the results of it. Like, I know that shit over with. You know what I'm saying?
Done.
Yeah, I can't catch a traffic ticket. Mm-mm. I'm through with it, for real.
For me, honestly, I did 10 years in the state and 10 years in the feds. You know, a lot of people thought that I was just in and out of jail, but I'm 42 years old, and I only been to jail 2 times in my life. Mm. Both times, they actually laid me down. My time in prison was spent getting towards God. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, if it had to come down to me learning about the law, it came from God. Mm-hmm. If it had to come to acknowledging what my people, my family was going through, because a lot of people don't understand that when you go to prison, you actually incarcerate your family at the same time. You feel what I'm saying? Mm. The visits, the putting money on your books, accepting the jail calls.
Court dates.
The girlfriends.
The everything, the whole drama that come with just being in prison, you feel what I'm saying, is real overwhelming. My biggest thing with reform is solution. When we say reform, we actually talking about rehabilitating to where we can actually prevent things from actually happening. We talking about solution, right? I'm big on the way that we are being prosecuted within the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us don't know the law. We don't know the language that's being used. You feel what I'm saying? I've had situations where judges was giving stenographers certain clues and codes and language to where they was actually stopped typing and stuff like that to go use the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? At the same time of them going to use the bathroom, my hearing is continuously going on. You know what I'm saying? I believe that I got close to the laws, getting close to God, actually. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I use this in my speech, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times that, you know, Moses, you feel what I'm saying? In order for him to free his people, he had to know his laws. You feel what I'm saying? Like, remember, these people were in bondage. Mm-hmm. They was imprisoned. Mm-hmm. So Moses did not just free his people with God. What God gave him an actual way of how to free his people. You feel what I'm saying? So him learning about the laws was his way of actually freeing his people from Pharaoh. So I'm big on the way that they're prosecuting us. You know what I'm saying? Because it's no matter what you did, bro, you still have to be prosecuted. There's a protocol to which you have to be prosecuted in court. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and because that we are black, because that we are the minority, you know, they set our bonds high. Like, I was on a armed robbery charge in the state, and my bond was set at $1.6 million. my bond was set higher than anyone that was in the prison that I was in. It had dudes that was on murder charges, first degree rape charges, pedophile charges, drug charges, everything. But my bond, I was on a simple armed robbery charge, and my bond was set at $1.6 million.
Why though?
Because of who I was.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Mainly because of who I was. You feel what I'm saying? You know, I'm Toya's brother. I'm a reality star, musician, published author. You know what I'm saying? So they felt like I had the money to, you know what I'm saying, to pay for these crimes. However, you know, when they say that you are innocent to proven guilty, it should be just that. I should have been able to make bond and to court.
Due process.
Went on my due process, it's which is your 14th Amendment. Innocent. And right. That's your 14th Amendment. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what go for you, go for me, sweetie. You feel what I'm saying? Like, because I'm a convicted felon, that doesn't neglect the fact that I'm a United States citizen at right. The end of the day. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Like what they doing, homie BG, right now. You feel what I'm saying? Trying to lock him up because of him trying to reestablish himself as the artist he is or the business that he have. That's messed up, you feel what I'm saying? Because he has a duty to his family at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He still got to provide for his family at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But you would tell him that he should get a 9-to-5 when technically most 9-to-5 jobs have convicted felons that are actually there.
Yep.
So what's the exception?
What's the difference?
Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I think that it's a lot with that sentencing, but I just want to touch on what my changing point was for me. When I went to prison, I was pregnant. So I ended up carrying my daughter while I was in prison. Mm-hmm. I gave birth to my daughter chained to a bed with a sheriff watching. Mm-hmm. 24 hours later, she was taken from me.
Now you on some Athena course. I'm not to cut you off, Athena gave birth to Pac like that.
Listen, my daughter won the Harvard Debate International Championship. She already working for Bloomberg. Yeah. She in her second year at MIT.
Preach.
But I gave birth chained to a bed with a sheriff watching.
Wow.
And even the doctors asked him, like, where she going? She got a 7-pound baby coming out her butt. Like, she can't get up and run. And he stood there.
A male?
Yeah, it was a white sheriff. And he stood there and he watched. Like, he was the daddy. Talking about just all in it. And for me, because I had experienced a lot of sexual trauma when I was young.
That's weird.
It kind of took me back there because I couldn't understand what that was. And then it's such a private moment. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you here?
Right.
And so after that, 24 hours later, my mother came to the hospital. They gave my baby to my mother. They sent me back to a prison. The prison was overcrowded.
No healing.
They gave me a mat. They put me on the floor. I was hemorrhaging. You only allowed 3 pads a day when you're in a female facility. I had to wash. I had to take T-shirts and use T-shirts to keep myself from sleeping all over everything.
They say women.
I had to wash the T-shirts out in the toilet because the toilet only had the only chlorine in it. I remember after I had my baby, my breasts were swollen because you know your breasts fill with milk, but there was no baby to get the milk out. So I'm in a lot of pain. And I remember I had an ice order from the infirmary, and one of the guards walked by my room one day and saw me eating the ice. And canceled my ICE order.
Dang.
So I'm in prison and I'm going through a lot now because I'm feeling like, postpartum. Okay, I just gave birth to a stillborn baby. I don't know when I'm coming home. Like, it was a lot mentally. Then 6 months after my baby was born, I remember they called my name over the loudspeaker and was like, Angela, you need to go to the chaplain's office, right? So I'm like, go to the chaplain's office. I'm all excited because I'm like, I get to get out the dorm. And then by the time I got to the door, one of the girls was like, no. You don't want to go to the chaplain's office. You say anytime they call you for the chaplain's office, it's bad news.
Yeah. Right.
So I ran back to the phone and something just said, my mama, I don't know why. And I called home and I found out my mother had died of a massive heart attack. This was 6 months into my sentence. And I could not attend her funeral because this was around the time that Brian Nichols had shot up the courthouse in Atlanta. So they had stopped all prison transport.
Yeah.
6 months after my mother died, I got called to the chaplain's office again. And this time it was my grandmother. So while I was in prison, my entire lifeline was wiped out. 6 months after my grandmother passed away, I was released from prison. I was given a $25 check and a bus ticket and told, here, go start your life over. And I literally came home like 2 tombstones, my mother in one, my grandmother in the other. I had 3 garbage bags of clothes. They had sold, like, everything was gone, and I had 4 kids looking at me. Mm. I'm a convicted felon. I'm on probation for the city. I'm on probation for the state. Damn, I'm on parole for the feds.
Damn.
I'm like,
all that sitting around this motherfucker like
at
that.
At the same time. Who this for? Who cried?
You heard me.
Oh, I
you heard me.
I
mean, you heard me.
Hey,
you heard me.
We've been past the
it's embracing that. You embrace that, sweetie.
You embrace that. But what my thing was, I knew then that I could never go back to prison. Because when I was in prison, I had to hold on to my mind. Because I wanted to know. Like, when they ask us that question, what you want to be when you grow up, don't nobody say we want to go to prison.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
That shit wasn't in the plans. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how am I in prison when my mama died? Mm. Like, I couldn't understand it. For me, I could never get over that because I was her only daughter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to handle it. And I think for me, I was like, okay, if I go back to prison, that's it for my children. Mm. And I was a mother that loved her children. You know, a lot of people, you know, I ain't trying to go there, but a lot of women in my situation wouldn't have had that baby. They would have had an abortion.
So let me
ask you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you something right fast. So doing time is actually being in that fire, right? Mm. Imagine someone actually watching you being in that fire and can't do nothing for you.
Right. That was my mama. And that's what broke her heart. She had a heart attack, a massive.
You feel
heart
what I'm
attack.
Saying? Mm-hmm. It's mad empathy with you. You feel what I'm saying with mm-hmm. that because I've actually been in that situation. Me and Casey, we lost 2 little brothers to gun violence. You know, they was killed at the same time. Now hear me out with this. We already serving the fed bed, but at the same time. We facing life on state charges that could throw us. I remember I'm a 3-time convicted felon now, so right. I qualify for what they call the habitual offender.
Right, 3 strikes you out.
3 strikes you out. Mm-hmm. So this is why I call
life
myself triflon. It's tri-felon. I'm a 3-time loser. Mm.
You're a 3-time winner because you're sitting next to me on this stage right
now.
We going to turn, because see, right now, we control the narrative.
That's right.
But remember, we got the, when you editing something or when you're proof editing something, it's already established on what they have on their paper. You know what I'm saying? So, we got to know what it is first. You feel what I'm saying? Like, in order to change something, you got to first know what the problem is.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So I identify what the problem is. Me and Casey sat there in prison. We wasn't, because we was on fed charges, and the feds, nowhere in the feds. You're not allowed to go to family. It don't matter if it's immediate family. It could be your mom. Mm-hmm. It could be your daughter. You cannot attend the funeral, period.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying?
See, we was blessed, though.
Run it, Casey.
They brought a day before the funeral, they brought the bodies to the federal building.
What? Wow. And that never been done in prison.
Wait. Yeah, I
ain't never been done, so you know we come.
I couldn't get nothing but a dread.
They brought the bodies. I'm going to just show you how God worked.
Right.
Not saying that God didn't work for you, but this situation that we was in, brother, I'm not even going to lie to you.
They brought the bodies to us.
However, we were shackled. Yep. In an orange jumpsuit, while we viewed our brothers, both of us.
That's crazy.
These females that actually brought the bodies there, these ladies was dressed up all nice, sweet, you know, looking good, bro.
That's a testimony.
When these people left, bro, these women had messed up all their makeup, bro. They told us we have never witnessed anything like this, and we've been doing this our whole life. This is how we feed our families, bro. We have never witnessed nothing like this for us. But this is my thing right now. Casey was a little knucklehead in prison. Casey beat up all the niggas in jail. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? He was angry. He was wild. He was angry. You know what I'm saying? He was angry way before we lost our brothers. However, you know, me and him like night and day. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's my brother. I love him, but I'm going to call it what it is. We are night and day. You feel what I'm saying? In prison, I spent a lot of time reading books, writing books, trying my best to get close to God. Not saying that my brother wasn't. He had his way of doing him. However, I spent a lot of time trying to get close to God. When the sheriffs actually came to me and it was like, man, look, we know what happened to y'all, bro. We, you know, our heart goes out to y'all. You feel what I'm saying? We sorry, bro. But, man, we don't want to tell Casey, man. Casey's going to wild out in here. If we tell Casey, Casey might punch one of us. You feel what I'm saying? So, Walter, can you please come tell Casey what happened to your brothers, because he don't know. Mm-hmm. When I actually got downstairs, they put us downstairs in the holding tank. We was on two different tiers at this time. When I actually seen my little brother, you know, my brother's first words to me was, "What's up, bro, man? They about to put me by you, or you about to come by me?" And I'm like, you know, "You about to come by me?" Like, all right, well, fuck that. Well, what they got us in the fucking cell for? And I'm like, man, I got to tell you something. And him being the Leo that he is, you know, he get, you know, little visions. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he gets senses. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
So he sensed something like, man, what the fuck going on? You feel what I'm saying? And I'm like, I came straight out with it. You know, they killed him. And he was like, no, man, which one? Now, just imagine as being a big brother.
Both of them.
I already feel like, you know, there's a lot on my part like that I didn't do as a big brother. Right. You feel what I'm saying? Not being there. And then having to tell your little brother that, and they killed both of our brothers
at the same
time. Let me
say this, right? Like, and that was tragic, right? And in that moment, though, y'all was able to be there for
together.
Each other.
Right. Right.
I was by myself.
Right.
I didn't have.
But you really wasn't, though.
At that time, it felt like I was by myself.
I understand what you're saying, sweetie, but this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. You feel what I'm saying? Like, this is why I was going to go with this. Like, you have to understand that no matter what it is that you go through, this is why I always bring it to God.
Yeah.
I always bring it down. No matter what it is you going through, you got to know that your struggles, your pain, hardships, trials, whatever it is that you're going through, this is ordained and allowed by the Creator.
Let me take that.
So you're going through something because He felt like you were strong enough to go through it.
Exactly.
Well, guess what?
This is what got you here right now.
Guess what?
To be able to tell these people
exactly
what you're telling them right now.
And that shit hurt like a
ball. And it hurt it, of course.
And I'm still going through therapy right now to this day.
Listen. You ain't wipe your tail with a napkin.
I want to cry.
So listen. Look, we can go around the circle 10 times, right? The original question was, what made you...
Yeah, that's
turn
what I'm
over
trying to get.
A new leaf. You said what you said. You said what you said. Mm-hmm. You said what you said, right? Casey, being the person that you had to go tell your brother about your two brothers that passed, right? Mm-hmm. When did you turn over a new leaf after you heard what he told you? First of all, how did you react after he told you?
I ain't even gonna lie. When I heard that shit, I was ready to go back to the dawn and fight.
Crash out.
Yeah. I'd rather go take it out
anger
on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my mind, see, his mind was different from my mind, probably. My mind was, I ain't going to be out of jail right now. That's what my mind was.
Like,
revenge. My mind, though, bitch, I'm about to flash out on ever. And I know that ain't
the right thing.
No, but
that
was your mind.
What did you do? What ended up happening? So you was upset, you was mad.
What I done? I cried my heart out all night.
Man.
I clicked out on all the nurses and deputies and COs that come to the door.
Can't tell me
shit.
Can't tell me
nothing
right now.
Yeah. And then
I got back to the dawn and went down.
Yep.
And whoever looked at me wrong.
When did you turn over your leaf?
Oh, let me see. It took a little minute.
What's a little minute?
Couple of
you can say I'm still turning it over.
Right.
I'm talking about why I was still doing my time, mm-hmm. though, because, you know, I done 6 years. I was in that 6 years. My brother and them died the first year of my sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So I had five more to go.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't nobody hours in there at the same time.
Yeah, we was in there together.
And you got to look at it. When they died, we ain't even had time yet.
We didn't get to go to the funerals. We didn't get to moan with our family.
We didn't have time yet.
We ain't do nothing.
They died right in the middle of when we went to jail. They died. Like a year after that, they died. They only came to like one court date or something.
So look. When that happened, you couldn't mourn. Y'all couldn't do what y'all was supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
When, after 6 years, did you, like, hey, I'm not going to, because a lot of people could have been you and just decided to go out and kill the world. And could have took some lives, could have did a lot of things.
I ain't going to lie, when I came home, it was a little different mindset for me. You know, I felt like, damn, I had my family, you know. I came home to my mama, you know, healthy, and she. Sister still doing her thing, her and Reginae. She out here doing her little thing. So when I came home, all the girls was looking good. You know what I'm saying? My son was coming to Atlanta. You know, talking to my child mama, she like Camden out there. We thinking about, you know, everything was kind of good, you know. At the end of the day, I be feeling like I have a lot to live for. So that's
the family was motivated.
Yeah, the family motivated. You know, you looking at your family on TV, they still doing their thing, your whole bitch.
You can't fuck it up.
You know, you can't fuck it up. You feel like, man, I can't be like these dummies. And here, I got shit to live for when I go home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what kept me saying. If I ain't have that, oh, I'd have never made it home probably. Yeah. Because I done got beat up in jail by the police. I done almost died. I got lawsuits and everything that I had the right family member to get a lawyer and attack your ass. I'll be rich. I think I fucked up.
So look,
I got fucked up. You didn't do something, right?
No, I
haven't. But what made me turn it was my son doing time. Like, as a mom, I thought I did everything right. One thing you said was learning about the laws. Like, I'm 48.
You look good for 48.
I just graduated with my criminal justice degree in May. Right. Because I wanted to understand the laws. Like, you know, as a parent, when you go into court, the first thing I always know is, like, they say if anybody don't have support in the courtroom, they'll throw the books to them.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to make sure I never missed a court date for my son because I didn't. First of all, it was traumatizing for me to come to Douglas County. Because this is where my son caught his case in Douglas County. And I've been here like 3 times speaking and advocating. I'm like, God, like, what you doing? Like, sometimes God make you face your fears in order for you to get to the next level in your life. And the same judge that sends my sons and the same ones that call me to be able to come out to advocate and help. Because I'm not ashamed. I moved. Like, when folks would come be like, auntie, let me pump your gas. Auntie, like, how, you know, my son doing? I'm like, are you calling me auntie because you want to know how he doing? Or are you retaliating? Like, see, I knew the street, so I knew how to protect myself. Mm-hmm. All his clothes I threw away because I wouldn't let my youngest son wear them because I didn't know what my son, I'm not going to say what my son did was correct. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to learn what he could do so I can save my other ones.
Right.
I ain't get goals in my mouth because Pooh Man used to have goals in his mouth. And they said that I used to look like Pooh Man. Listen, Pooh Man was a dude, a real gangster. Listen, he's a beast from New Orleans, right? You know what I'm saying? He's a legend in our city.
What's up, Pooh Man?
And his name is Walter. He's dead now. His name is Walter.
I don't know Pooh Man.
You feel what I'm saying?
You know Pooh Man?
But neither didn't allow me to get goals in my mouth because Pooh Man had goals in his mouth. So see, there's a lot of things that two mothers go through. Like, my mom has lost sons to gun violence, has lost nephews to the drug fentanyl, prison, you feel what I'm saying? Right. So I really sympathize with you on what you're on, you feel what I'm saying? Because my mom is actually on that. And I feel like y'all should go full throttle, bro, and use those that are actually have been in that situation that what you're speaking about, you have to use people like us, you feel what I'm saying, to help
change the narrative.
To right. change the narrative,
because
bro.
I always ask people before they come and help me, because I still I think you have to live when you're in prison. So it's a lot that I have to do, but I have to be cautious because I want to save my son's life. Like he said, like I have people to be like, Miss T, can you come and help me? The first thing I ask them, where your child is or where your loved one. I'm be honest to God, because if they're where my son is, I can't help you. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like the trauma. Like when he's saying that I got videos in my phone where they, you know, they think they in the gang and they dig in the gang out, because you got a rep, you got hybrid gangs, you got a lot of things. When they get in there, they maybe was repping this on the streets, but because they not protecting them no more, they got to rep something else in prison. And so I want my son to come home. So you may know you may know me, but you'll never know who my son is, because you're not going to know where he lay his head at. Because I want his freedom. But what I'm going to do is I'll show you how to get that freedom, but I'm going to show mine how to be safe at the same time.
Yeah.
So I got a question for y'all, all of y'all. What role can community involvement play in criminal justice reform? And how can individuals or organizations contribute to positive change?
I'll take that, because we got our criminal justice reform actually launching this Saturday at the Martin Luther King Center. It's going to be from 6 to 8. We got a whole lineup of keynote speakers, people that have come home from prison and be reformed. For one, we have to be the light. We have to be the change that we want to see. So you have to take real people like me and Turk and Casey and Walter back into these situations to be able to explain what happened, how it happened, why we changed, what you can do different. Not only that, we got to all come together and take it to another level, like what you all have seen me do in my political career, where we are now advocating at the legislative level to get criminal justice reformed. I was very effective in helping to pass the First Step Act. I'm proud to say that we got over 20-something thousand people home from federal prison that had life sentences for drugs.
You heard me.
You heard me. We are now
working on pardons.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on Turk, all his pardon paperwork. I got pardon from the president. I got a federal pardon and a state pardon. I'm now going back and getting my people's records clear, because we're not going to never be free as long as we are tied.
And I just want to piggyback off of that with you.
Y'all talking all this
out of trouble.
I'm in a chokehold.
We got you. So, I mean, that's when you like
they're telling
me,
them to get a job right now.
For me, I could have left and took what I got and never came back. But I decided I wanted to come back, because I wanted to help the community that I was from. And I just know that we don't have it. It's like you have not because you ask not. Correct. And we just don't know. So that criminal justice reform you're talking about, that community involvement is me partnering with her, partnering with Casey, partnering with her. Us coming together, taking what we got and going back and saving our own community. Right. Because we got to save each other.
And we have to do it, man, because you have people crazy, speaking about prison reform. And I think you have people who are higher up who never been through the prison system. So how can you even relate to the reform?
Yeah.
I think some people just do it for the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really like in the trenches with it.
Right.
We not doctrinate, we educate. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's a big difference. And
I,
you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to say too with her, like, I just came back from the White House, leaving next week to go again, send it on a panel. And I'm like, a young lady, if you know, from Atlanta, you know, from Cleveland Avenue, I'm on a panel in the White House talking about gun law safety, working with families to prevent gun violence and helping to bury families and go back and going back in September. So the things of it is let them know they need housing. They need to vote. If I come home, no matter if I'm on probation, as long as it's not a sex offense, I need to be able to vote, because you're not going to get other things. They need employment other than
taking all our money, restitution.
Based on income. And everything. You know, they need housing.
Taking your income tax money. Like what are we supposed to be
making it home?
Making this money from if we don't go do something else besides work for y'all.
And you see what I'm saying?
Where are we supposed to get this from? How are we supposed to pay rent? August, and that's why we're taking all the money away from minimum wage. That's a setup to go right back.
And I always tell families too, when your loved ones go, in, like, I know when my son come home, he's gonna be an adult. He may not want to come home with mom. That's why I say with their girlfriends, they gonna lie. Like, when they have time, they have, if you ain't have one you were locked down with when you went in, you got multiples. They be like, mom, man, introduce yourself to her. It, my trust level ain't, so I ain't finna introduce myself to too many people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that if part. She putting something on your book, boo, I thank you. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I don't visit no, I visit on my own. You know, come right. there, I know how it goes. But I let parents know that
be prepared
yeah. when they come home, because they may not come home to you. Y'all see love at the lockup. They going when they get this grown. Gonna make sure and they going they gonna come home. All of my kids right now.
This guy
so, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a woman that was with me. We was together 2 months before I went to prison. And she stood down for 8 years, that's 8 months,
mama.
16
right.
years. And today we are married. We got twins.
Shout out to Imani.
Imani. So they got good women out there, right, man. Right, and right, I'm gonna be right. real. Like I'm a heroin recovering addict. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I didn't. I done been through.
You done switched the game tremendously,
hot boy,
brother.
Being in the industry, like I never experienced that superstardom. You know what I'm saying? So like you might think, man, you hot boy Turk, you ain't going through nothing. I went through shit that the dope fiend go through on the regular, you know what I'm saying? So just being in this position today, I can relate to you on a day-to-day basis. And I'm passionate about it. Like, I'm not doing it just for publicity, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing it because first, I want change for me.
Right.
Yeah. And what I want for me, I want for my brothers and my sisters. Right. You know
so watch this, yeah. We started something called Coin.
Mm-hmm.
Like an actual quarter. Children of an incarcerated nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Our sole mission is to educate our youth about God, love, language, and the laws.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that, we want to hit these streets and deal with the actual parents.
Yes.
That are actually being incarcerated at the same time while their kids are being in prison. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God say that he's going to raise one of his kind. Like what our brother just said. It takes one that have actually gone through that situation to be able to lead you. You can't. I'm not too big on voting for the president. I'm going to be honest with you. Walt still be thugging.
Mm-hmm.
Walt don't believe in voting for the president. He don't believe in voting for the governors. However, I will vote for our city mayors.
Right, state representatives.
I will vote for our city council. I will vote for the superintendents, because these are people that I can actually touch.
I can touch presidents, so I mean,
well, you
it don't
good.
Matter.
You
I work with all
if
of them.
If you could touch
said,
the president,
work with
that
the,
is good.
The
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Parts.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. But this
still
we
gonna be connected
ain't nothing
everybody.
Wrong with that. But this right. is what I'm saying. Everything has to start from the ground on up.
Locally.
You know what I'm saying? You know when a spider bites you, that motherfucker tear you down from the inside out.
Right.
Not the other way around.
I got one of them spider bites when I was in prison.
And guess
a
what?
A brown recluse.
Ooh, and that motherfucker babe. Told you what from the inside out.
Oh my God, my leg was so swollen. I had like a lump about that big. I thought I...
You just been through everything.
Look, we ain't got enough time.
We don't, we gotta go.
We ain't got enough time to talk about what we can talk about, but so I personally want to offer y'all to come back.
Yeah,
we do a part two. Shit, we might have to make that happen that week.
Mm-hmm.
But
we all like
it's definitely a lot to talk about, and this probably one of the first times I had to listen because I ain't did no time.
Right.
So I done had family members do time. I ain't understand it. I'm green to that. You know, I ain't never have to deal with that. I played ball, went to work. You know. And then I done dealt with people that done did some time for foolishness, traffic tickets, stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then I dealt with someone that did some time for murder. And just how I had to operate with him. Because first of all, you can't go around telling people what he did. I mean, it's known. But when you dealing with someone and they in a cell, and honestly, it sound crazy, but
you did
them calling me told me that gave them a piece of reality because they're in a hole.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, look, man, just please just write me when you can every day. because they said that give them, not just me, you know, their family, give them the strength to just to keep trying, like, to not lose themselves, to take their life. Mm-hmm. So I've never been in those situations where I've been across the jail cell for something serious, but I've been in situations where I obviously had to deal with someone, and I can't change people's lives. We all are not perfect, and we all sin every day,
right?
Not even knowing what you're sinning for.
Mm.
You know, so if we got, and I've been preaching this many times, like, we got to give grace.
Oh, my God.
Because you might have did something that you weren't in your right mind, not even knowing that you weren't in your, you might not have been physically incapable of the understanding what you did.
No.
You know, so.
Girl, you got me.
I feel like personally, we have to understand that people do change. And how you saw somebody yesterday is not how you see somebody today.
Right.
And that's the big story time with Lex. So in conclusion, I want to invite y'all to come back.
Big part right
and
there.
I want to talk about it. What but also, I'm going to also offer this to y'all. If we got to collectively, us six, and I know the streets, everybody know me, I'm the biggest.
The biggest.
If we got to collectively come together and do something to, if I can help you, I'm with that all day. And ain't no strings attached. So whatever I can do on my end to help get this word out, what you guys want to do, I'm a phone call away. Mm-hmm. And we going to make something happen, because I'm probably like 2 degrees from the president for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the man that's up there right now.
Mm-hmm. Stop playing.
So let's stop playing. Let's put something together. Let's form something together. Let's keep talking. And I want y'all to come back. And we're going to talk about part two of criminal justice reform. Now, in conclusion, I want y'all to say where they can find y'all at, your IG handle, and what you stand for. We're going to start over here.
I'm Miss TK, my IG.
The biggest!
Yes, I'm Mag Violence, M-A-G Violence. That's my IG. And where you can find me at, I'm in the city of A. I'm at the Roselle Fan, do family engagement every Monday. If you want to reach out to me, I give my number freely, 404-749-7422. Right, I'm covered. I don't need nothing. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. But that's my IG, Mad Violence, Mothers Against Gang Violence, period.
Y'all know where y'all can go find me at on Instagram, YD San Kofi Ehrman. If you can't spell it, I'll spell it for you, YDSANKOFA. Y'all go follow my YouTube page, Kesa Johnson. Yeah, I do my thing on there. Raw diggity, wiggity. Y'all go look me up, man. Y'all find me anywhere, man. But look, I'm passing to y'all. Though.
Angela Stanton King. Y'all know y'all can find me on IG, the most censored. The Angie Stanton. You can find me on Twitter, the Auntie Angie. They call me Auntie Angie because I actually am the founder of Auntie Angie's House. We have a pregnancy home in the west end of Atlanta, Georgia, and we are fighting to eradicate the Black maternal health crisis. We are preserving and maintaining Black life. This is the real Black Lives Matter movement. Also, New Dawn for Justice, the number four flow, brother man. NewDawnForJustice.com. Look us up, man. I'm bringing everybody on this tour with us, man. We kicking off on the 6th in Atlanta. Then we're going to hit Detroit. We're going to Houston. We're going to Miami. We're going to Chicago. We're going to New York. We're going all over. New Dawn for Justice.
Because I'm definitely trying to get
full
justice.
Flow. I got you.
I need my freedom.
Let's liberate our people, y'all.
I need mine.
We got to get Casey. We got to get Casey on the paperwork. Let's go.
This your boy, man. I'm kind of lit right now, but
super.
I'm Walter, man. It's been a rough battle for me, man. But y'all can find me, bro. Y'all just check out what I'm doing, bro, and what I got going on, bro. Walter Jonas. Official Walter Triflon Johnson, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Just Google Walter Triflon, you feel what I'm saying? And you're going to see anything up on me. But most important, man, I want to say this right fast before I would like to exit like this. You know, God said that, you know, they asked God, how many times should I forgive my brother?
Mm.
And God give you a astronomical number.
77 times 7. Like
77 times 7. You know what I'm saying? Now, understand this right fast. Why so many times you were asked? Well, you know how many times you sin throughout the day and don't even know?
That part.
Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So I say that to say that anything that we're trying to do in life is going to always start with his direction and his guidance. You're not going to get through nothing without keeping God in the equation. Right. I don't care how smart you think you are, what degrees you may think you have, who your associates with in life, who your family is, how much money you have. Man, all this is ordained and allowed by the Creator. Mm. So if you're not keeping him in the equation, anything that you got going, man, you slipping because you're just doing this for yourself. You feel what I'm saying? And I'm going to leave on that part. Keep God first. Love God, partner.
Yep. And I'm Hot Boy Turk, Original Hot Boy Turk on Instagram, Original Hot Boy Turk on YouTube. Y'all already know, man, I'm on that Reform tour, and I'm really trying to make a difference, man, like for real, for real. We ain't doing it for show, we doing it for show, you feel me? Straight like that.
And all of our events are free to the community, so just call. All you got to do is show up, and we got the knowledge for you.
BG, holla. Gotcha.
That's right.
And it's the biggest.
The biggest.
Before we tap out.
Get some murder too.
I want to give a shout out to my boy Tastemakers. Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What did they say?
Cornbread.
You can't have my cornbread.
Y'all gonna let me go ahead.
I wore this for a reason. So this the point of the episode was criminal justice reform. And he made this specifically for this episode.
So it's a
funny, you know, you want to tap into stuff, but you know, you can find me at Alexia Adams 24, the biggest, the reality table. Follow us, like, subscribe, share. And I want to leave everybody with this, and you kind of tapped on it. God only puts you through what you can see, but with your biggest soldiers.
Yeah. Mm.
If you couldn't do it, you wouldn't be a soldier.
Speak, girl.
And I want to tell you, Angie, because I know you. You're going through a lot. My nigga, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you need from me, you call me. You know where I'm at.
Gotcha.
And whatever y'all going through, at this point, we family. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
So,
for
real.
You know, tap in the reality table, signing out.
With your brain.
Every conversation's the base in relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip, who she loving? This tea get hotter when you touch it. Forget about that he saying that she said. Tell me what the street said. Got them tuned in, they running back. Just like a DJ. What you bring to the table?